My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If the NFL is indeed a TV show about quarterbacks, yesterday's episode was pretty magnificent. And I don't mean the games. We're actually passing touchdowns were the lowest that they've been in the last 6 years, and offense was generally down from a passing standpoint. But just the drama. Before the kickoff in week one on the opening Sunday, one of the biggest stars in the league, who players named the number one player in the National Football League, Tyreek Hill was arrested outside of the Dolphins stadium, aside from right beside the road where all the fans drive into the stadium. So imagine.
Yeah, they're driving by.
They're driving by. And I shouldn't laugh at this. I shouldn't make light of this. But he is on the ground in handcuffs. And like the videos I'm seeing are this dude. There's this one guy I saw. He goes, "Oh no, dude, that's Tyreek." And he's like, his camera out the window, and he goes, "I got him in fantasy today." And like, someone's like, "You better put him on the bench." And like, Tyreek Hill's in cuffs. Now, not a funny situation. I don't know what happened. They're investigating the officer. I'm sure they'll investigate what Tyreek Hill did as well. But he got arrested. And one of his teammates, Calais Campbell, a former Walter Payton Man of the Year, whose side I would take in a, you know, back and forth with a police officer, as a good dude, so he ended up in cuffs somehow when he walked over. So Scottie Scheffler vibes there, possibly. We'll get more details. But between that, Danny, and then Dak Prescott, about an hour and a half before kickoff, broke the NFL record, $60 million a year at quarterback. It was a absolutely incredible lead up to kickoff yesterday.
The drama, she was real. The NFL TV writers did a great job.
They certainly did. Lots of meat still on the Commanders' Bucks bone. We'll get into what was more discouraging, the offense or the defense, coming up at 4:25. But let's kick off our Beltway Blitz here on G&D. And we'll start with Spencer Nussbaum, who covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Spencer, a lot of people probably had their eyes on football yesterday and kind of forgot about the Nats for a day or so. They split four games with the Pirates, correct?
That is correct, and I frankly can't blame them on the first Sunday of the season.
No kidding.
Seriously.
What'd they miss?
So I think that the big takeaways from the road trip, obviously yesterday was kind of a stinker. Patrick Corbin getting back to kind of his form that we saw in the middle of the season, allowed 7 runs, 3 home runs, and the Nats were shut down by Jared Jones, who's a very intriguing, you know, young pitcher on Pittsburgh's side. I think if you want one positive takeaway out of that, it's that C.J. Abrams hit a leadoff home run. As we all know, he's been struggling for a while now, and so to see him kind of get one out of the park and get one going has to be encouraging after, you know, what has been a rough few months.
Spencer, it feels like C.J. Abrams could really use a nice last few weeks. These valleys that he's hit, no pun intended, a few different times over the course of the year have kind of really put a damper on some of his numbers. There's some pretty good counting stats in there, but, man, some of these swoons and some of these at-bats and a lot of these offers, it's been ugly at times.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like, the big thing for him is consistency, the same thing and sentence you really ascribe to any young player. But for him, the valleys have been low, and especially, I mean, now it's been since July. You know, he had a rough May, and you kind of said, okay, that was 1 month because the high points surrounding it. But, yeah, it's just been tough. His timing has looked off at the plate as of late. He's not hitting balls that he should be, and really anything that isn't a fastball up there, he's really struggled with, which, again, makes it encouraging that he hit a slider out of the park, because he has just struggled so much on those sort of pitches. You can see it's affecting him. He talked about it after the game. He said he thinks he's been in his own head, but he's been working on stuff in the cage, and he felt like yesterday he finally started to get his timing back. So we'll kind of see if that carries over.
Spencer, 2 games at home coming up with the Braves, and then 4 to wind down the homestand against the Marlins. It's Tuesday through Sunday at home for the Nationals this week at Nats Park. What do people need to know?
Yeah, I think the biggest things I'd be looking for is on the pitching side of things, particularly with DJ Hurd and Mackenzie Gore. Those are 2 guys who have really pitched very well for the Nationals in the past couple of weeks. Mackenzie Gore is starting to find that second gear, get his velocity back. So if he can finish out the year strong, that's a huge benefit for the team. And he and DJ, frankly, have the best stuff in that starting rotation. DJ had 5 no-hit innings on Saturday, I believe, before he was pulled. So see if those guys can kind of keep it up over the last few weeks of the season. They're both at or near career highs in innings. So I'd say that's the main point to watch. Again, seeing if CJ can do it. Then obviously anytime, you know, Dylan and James, that's really at this point, every single game you're looking at what they can do and what, you know, is going to kind of close up these last few weeks.
Spencer, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks.
We'll see you, my friend. Hit that local 53 sounder. Our guy Mitch Tischler joins us to talk about what happened yesterday. Mitch, big picture, what'd you make of it, buddy?
You know, when we got out of the game yesterday, I was a little down on it. I thought that the team played poorer than I expected, but I went back and watched a little bit of the film this morning, the game this morning, and I think that they were a little bit closer than I thought yesterday. They had a couple chances early in the game. The defense did a good job of bending and not breaking, despite being put in a couple of bad situations because of the missed field goals and a bad block in the back penalty, and they could have scored a touchdown, you know, early in that game. I think they had some chances to make this thing a little bit closer and give them a chance to win, but ultimately the team broke down kind of as the game went on, and obviously the game got a little away from them in the second half.
Mitch, where were you when I needed you studying my film, huh? Helping me out when I was trying to make plays. Yeah, I mean, look, there was
behind the camera at that time. I was shooting the game on the field. I wasn't watching film and doing all that. Different world.
That's a good point. I'm an old man now. Yeah, there were certainly some plays to be made, for sure. And in the league, I guess no game, unless you're the Panthers and you're playing the Saints, is a complete debacle. What about the kicking situation? Speaking of debacles, Cade York's been cut. This is now kicker number 5, if you count McManus. Kicker number 4 since they moved on from him. It looks like Austin Seibert's going to be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're in the kicker abyss right now, and it ain't a great place to be, but we've been in the quarterback abyss for 25 years, so at least we seem to be working our way out of that abyss there. So, you know, that was a really bad performance from a kicker there. 2 missed kicks and the kickoff out of bounds is just entirely unacceptable, and quite frankly, anyone who thought that he was going to, Cade York was going to stick around this week, hasn't been listening or watching what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters are care about.
What's your grade for Cliff Kingsbury in week 1?
You know, I thought he got a little bit cutesy too early in this game. There was one play early in the game where they had kind of the O-line was in a run-blocking show, and they had Sam Cosmi pulling around on a pass, and ultimately, Jaden had to tuck and run because they weren't able to block it up correctly. We saw the double pass attempt with Luke McCaffrey there. I would have liked to have seen a couple more balls downfield. I know the Bucs were dialing up the pressure, and he had the shortest time, you know, to throw of any quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, I think that they could have done a better job of helping out the offensive line and keeping a couple more blockers in to help out and give his receivers a chance to get downfield. But, you know, that very first play of the game, having that, you know, short little throw to Brian Robinson, go back 15 yards, all of a sudden you're erasing your entire, you know, first 15 game script because you're in the second and 25 right away. So I think they'll hopefully do a little bit better job kind of moving forward. But listen, we've seen Jaden play now in three football games, and in two of them they tried to open the game with that kind of quick little pass to a running back, and both times Jaden missed it. That might not be his cup of tea. Might want to try and get him an easier, a little bit different of an easy pass to kind of get his legs under him as we move forward.
That's a good point. Mitch Tischler is with us, Monumental Sports Networks, where you can check him out. Mitch, speaking of Daniels, just broader brush here, I guess. What did you make of his outing? He had more rushing attempts than completions at one point mid-fourth quarter. If I was to have told you before the game he was going to scramble 11 times when there are only 12 pressures all game and run it 16 times, what would you have said?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we went through this last year with Eric Bieniemy where he kind of hung his offensive line out to dry. And Andrew Wiley didn't have a very good day. He got beat inside clean far too often. And a couple times he got beat inside when he had help to the outside, which is borderline unacceptable for an offensive tackle. But ultimately, you know that this offensive line is going to need some help. And quite frankly, I don't think they got enough of it from the tight ends and from the running backs. And I hope that's something that when this coaching staff goes back and looks at the film and they see kind of where some of these gaps and holes are, they're gonna hopefully try and fix that. But for by and large, I thought the interior of the offensive line did a good job in pass pro. I liked what I saw out of Allegretti, Biotis, and Cosmi. A little bit of a mixed bag at left tackle, and at right tackle, they need to help out Andrew Wiley there. I mean, he's at a point in his career where clearly he's struggling in one-on-one situations and obvious passing downs, and it's something that this is the team that they put together, and they have to understand that that's who they have, and you need to make adjustments based on that. And I'm hoping that Cliff is able to kind of step up and make those changes.
Do you think Austin Ekeler earned a little bit more than, say, you know, get one catch for 20-plus yards and goes take a break for 30 minutes? Do you think he maybe earned some, I don't know, what's that word, more looks, more touches?
Listen, Austin Ekeler played a really big role in the pass blocking game, and I think that was part of the fact that he didn't get as many catches as he did because he was, you know, helping out in those blitz situations. But they need to get him the ball a little bit more often, definitely. I mean, I know that they don't want the breakdown to be Jaden 16 carries, B-Rob 12, and Ekeler 2, because pretty much when Ekeler was in the game, you knew that it was a passing down and that they weren't really looking to run the ball with him. And I think you need to be a little bit more you have a little more optionality with your guys and not be so obvious when a certain player is in the game. But big hats to Austin Ekeler. Those two catches that he had, two of the catches he had, he took big-time hits on and got up and kept on trucking. And that first catch for 22 yards on that little middle screen was a really nice play concept and draw up and executed extremely well. And Eckler's pretty shifty when he gets out there in the secondary. So I like what I saw from him, and I do think that we're going to see him be continually part of the pass game, but and hopefully I'll get a couple more carries in there.
Mitch, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
You got it. All right, let's talk more national football. Abroad we go. We'll get into the games around the league in a lot more detail, just the rhythm of our week generally, as we do that a lot on Tuesday. We really dive as deep into the Commanders game as we can on Mondays. But quickly here around the league, Lions-Rams was great last night.
What great theater.
Went to overtime. Stafford back in Detroit, threw for 317 in the touchdown. Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, though, get the last laugh. 26-20 in OT. They bullied the Rams on an 8-play 70-yard David Montgomery power handoff fest in overtime. He went for 91 in the game-winning score. Detroit a winner.
Detroit was better for probably, what, 50 of the 67 minutes played? But, you know, that furious comeback there by the Rams, credit to them for doing it. And again, listen, it wasn't as if they scored a million points and were incredible. They scored 20 on the road to Detroit. But you have a priority, which is to get Cooper Kupp the football. He had 14 catches. That wasn't for 250 yards. It was just over 100. But still, they want Cooper Kupp to have the football. You find a way to get him the football. Ta-da!
The Dallas Cowboys have a way of opening the season well. And they did it yesterday, doubling up the Browns, 33-17. They were actually up 33-10 before a garbage time touchdown for Cleveland. They got the best kicker in the league, maybe, and this kid, Brandon Aubrey, the former pro soccer player who they signed in training camp last year. How does Washington do whatever that was? Aubrey made kicks from 57, 40, and 50, and 46, was 4-for-4 in the game. Dak got the fat contract, had a really good first half, and then basically took the second half off and put on a visor. They blew the Browns out of the water.
Yeah, throttled it down. Cleveland looked terrible. Deshaun Watson was awful in this game, and that's kind of where it starts and stops.
He has been awful for a long time. About 3 years running. That's the worst contract in the history of the league.
It's certainly up there. I mean, it's proven out to be at this stage. He had, minus a good game in Washington, if you recall, where he looked awesome.
He was fine.
Well, relatively fine.
I will say this. By his standards, post massage table, he was incredible in that game. I mean, like this version of Deshaun Watson, he was passable, which is incredible.
Well, I say that in just in jest, but as it relates, if you played Washington last year as a quarterback, you were the MVP of the league. Yeah. I mean, that's not hyperbole either. 49 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 105.7 quarterback rating, 4,600 yards. That's what opposing quarterbacks did to Washington. And that includes like pedestrian games from guys like Desmond Ridder and a couple others. So anyway.
I thought you were talking about when he was in D.C. for the Wentz game 2 years ago. When he played Washington. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, I just conflated, right. That was 2 years ago. Anyway, so my zinger sucked. Point is, Cleveland was terrible.
He might have played him last year,
I don't think
too.
They played last year. It was 2 years ago.
Okay, then.
Womp, womp. Well, they were bad on defense
my
then, too.
Bad.
No, you're fine.
Rookie quarterbacks.
Yep.
Let's do that.
Bo Nix, atrocious. No passes beyond 4 feet, pretty much. He still threw 2 interceptions, too, by the way. That was a disaster. Caleb Williams was a disaster in week number one, where they didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Caleb Williams was 14 of 29 for 93 yards. Yards per attempt. Some quick math here. 3.2 for Caleb Williams.
Gross.
He also held the ball forever. He did the thing he did in college where he'd run all over the place and then flick a ball 50 yards, minus the flicking the ball thing because he just got sacked or ran out of bounds or whatever. It was ugly. And yet the Bears somehow got up off the mat. They were down 17-0. And with a defensive touchdown and a blocked punt touchdown by Simone Biles' boyfriend, they ended up coming all the way back to beat the Titans. And great Will Hurt thing. Good Will Hurt thing. The line's not as bad as the numbers, but the pick six was one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, early on, they were good.
So bad.
I'm sitting there. I've got my gloating text ready because Tennessee was frisky. They were the better team for most of that game. And then they fell apart, combined with the block punt for a touchdown and then one of the 10 worst plays. I mean, that's up there with the butt fumble in terms of worst plays I've ever seen.
What are we going to call it?
It could just be the Hurt thing. The Hurt thing pick six. I mean, I don't know who you saw. I don't know what you go, this will work. This sounds
like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. And maybe he could direct that play. It was so spooky.
Will Hurt thing.
Starring Will Hurt thing.
That was so.
If you haven't seen it, please go watch it. It's the funniest thing. He's like falling down, he decides to like throw the ball like
Like a second baseman pitching it to a shortstop.
I was going
to
say, like on a 6-4-3 double play, the way Luis Garcia would just flip the ball over to C.J.
on the way to the ground.
But I don't know. It wasn't like throwing it to a guy. It seemed like he was trying to get it to the sideline. But there was a Bears defensive back there.
In a world where decisions can happen in an instant. You know, like we get a trailer.
I do my bit where today is my day, where by tomorrow on the air, I will have watched every play of every game via all, you know, the condensed games.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it every single week. It's just football, man. I have not done it yet. So Will Levis could have had like a decent game otherwise. That's the play that I saw most notably. And it's just, that one's tough.
I'm not going to remember some of the early game success. I'm going to remember the Hurt thing.
Speaking of quarterbacks who had tough days, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. I'm a little worried about Kirk. Danny, coming back
this
from
was
the
gross.
Achilles. This was as bad a performance as I've seen from Cousins in a long, long time. But he also just looked, immobile's not the right word, but they had him in pistol or shotgun on every single play. He was never under center. So that tells me one of two things. Either they have a terrible plan, because what he does best is under center, play action, drop back, shotgun stuff. Play action, pass, drop back game. Or they're not comfortable with him dropping back on that Achilles or something. But he ended up throwing two interceptions, including one at the end of the game. The Falcons' defense played well enough to win, and he just, you know, the offense couldn't get anything going, really. They couldn't run the ball. I'm a little worried about the post-Achilles Cousins first game.
Two things. One, Pittsburgh's defense is still great, and T.J. Watt had one of those games. I mean, this is
a... Oh, my God. He's so good.
This is when you are... When it's like, you know, the comeback from commercial break before they introduced T.J. Watt for the Hall of Fame, you could play the highlights from this one, where he's... I mean, there was a time where they go... We got to call a penalty on you because you were too fast.
By the way, he had two sack fumbles taken off the board.
Yeah.
For penalties. Two.
Yeah.
Where and they go, still had a monster game.
You were just too fast. So we think you were offsides, but we can't prove it. I mean, unbelievable. So that's part of it. The other part, here's what it reminded me of. And again, this is one, maybe, you know, he's healthier as the year goes, talking about Cousins. Reminded me of later career Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, he never really liked stuff at his feet, right? If he had his feet set, could pat the football, he'll deliver it as good as anybody. But if you made him move around, have it when he had to reset his feet, he wouldn't get as much on the football, and he was vulnerable. That's what it looked like. That first interception that Cousins threw was, there was nothing on it. It was noodly, and it's like he thought there'd be some reserve of arm strength there as his feet weren't set, and there wasn't. That's when you kind of go, oh, maybe he's not quite right yet. Maybe that'll change, but week one, not a good showing.
No, there were a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of teams that didn't have them, including here in Washington where the Commanders lost by 17. Let's get back to the local 53 next. What was more discouraging yesterday, the offense or the defense? We will get into that, and we can welcome your calls as well at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Week one almost in the books. One last game tonight. Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Let's try this again. Do you think he runs out of the tunnel with the American flag this time? Wouldn't that be tough?
They're not even going to let him run. Just walk gingerly, keep him in bubble.
If he has any sense of humor, and I don't know that he does, but if he does, when they come out of the tunnel under the lights on Monday Night Football, he should come sprinting out onto the field waving the American flag. Just run it back to last year. San Francisco 49ers hosting the game, 8:15 kick tonight. More importantly, though, here in D.C., the Commanders are 0-1. They lose 37-20 at the hands of the Bucs. Tampa Bay did whatever they wanted offensively, 9 of 13 on third down. When you add in the penalties, of which there were 4 on third down defensively, the numbers actually skew way worse than that.
Oof.
Washington just 2 of 8. On third downs with the football, Tampa Bay had an advantage well over 150 yards when Washington started its final garbage time drive. Their receivers at that point had 19 receiving yards. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. The kicker, who they've already released, missed 2 field goals, kicked the ball out of bounds on special teams. By the way, the dynamic kickoff, you can't call it something like that. You're asking to be made fun of. But the new kickoff? We had a kick return for a touchdown.
Yes.
And we had several long kick returns across midfield yesterday.
Indeed. So this is the design.
I know everybody wants to beat up on it and can't wait every time there's a touchback to make their Twitter jokes. The result is the result. I mean, yep. We had plays made on kickoffs last.
As a longtime fan of these various sports, whether it be they baseball, where we've seen substantive change over the last couple of years, football as well, I'm willing to deal with a lot as long in order to get the thing. And what I mean is, I'd like kick returns to be part of the game. Kick returns are part of the game. Make it can look as weird as it wants. Put 7 guys on one hash mark. You can line them up single file. You can pretend to be a cloud sculpture or something. Whatever you want to do, as long as I get kick returns, I'll deal with it.
What if they all have to sit pretzel style with their knees touching and then get up and start blocking, but they can't use their left hand?
Everybody has to do crisscross applesauce until the guy catches it. Fine. Let's do it.
So far, I would say so good. But anyway. What was more discouraging to you guys? And we're going to open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Danny, you and I can start. Were you more disappointed in the offense or the defense?
The offense. And to me, it's not close. Disappointment comes from expectations not being met. My expectations were met on the defensive side of the ball. I thought they'd be a little bit better, but not much. You know, this was the worst defensive unit in the sport last year, and they're on their way to doing that again. Offensively, with a new hotshot, handsome dude with a deep voice and a flat top in charge, with the number 2 overall pick, Heisman Trophy quarterback, with multiple new offensive linemen, with new pieces almost everywhere, and the only holdover really from years before, guys that have produced here, guys like Brian Robinson and Terry McLaurin, for them to be that anemic, and they were all masked how unproductive they were by incredible running and scrambling from Jaden Daniels. Again, deep into the third quarter, more than half of their yards were on Daniels' scrambles. Not design runs and keepers and ingenious things. Nothing was coming from the actual offense itself. It was, Daniels, put the cape on and see what you can do and lose your helmet half the time. To me, it was glaring, disappointing, jarring, awful.
Respectfully, while you're right, they were terrible defensively last year, 6 of their 11 starters weren't here last year. It's a new defense almost entirely. Of the 5 guys that are still starting, 2 of them are Daron Payne and John Allen, who I don't think you or anybody else wants to get rid of because supposedly they're outstanding, right? Mm-hmm. So now that's 8 of your 11 guys. So that means that Benjamin St. Juste and Emmanuel Forbes and Quan Martin, those are the three guys all in the secondary, are the holdovers. But here's the good news to that. Dan Quinn is a defensive back whisperer. You hired a defensive-minded head coach to help fix your defense. And I didn't think he was going to be able to do it before the first game, so it's not like I am throwing in the towel. But I know this sounds crazy because we haven't dealt with this here in Washington in a long, long time, where you would go out and get a defensive-minded head coach and a big-name defensive coordinator that he brings with him, and then they don't fix the defense at all, and the defense becomes a huge problem and just doesn't play up to its standards. That would never happen. But anyway.
We're just having fun, that's all.
We're funning.
We're just funning.
Come on, who's done it?
Who's done it?
Who's done it? Come on, we're funning. Point of the dude's story is, 8 of 11 guys, man, are either John Allen, Daron Payne, or a new starter that they brought in here. So in a lot of ways, it's in Dan Quinn's image, primarily. It's in Adam Peters' image to an extent. Secondary, not ideal. I understand where we're at there. And the secondary really struggled, but it's not like the linebacking core lit it up. I'm a Frankie Louvu mark. How many times you notice Frankie Louvu?
Not many, man.
Bobby Wagner, future Hall of Famer, missed a few tackles, was late getting to a couple things. Now, I will say this. He's a wrecking ball. He's going to make a lot of tackles, too. He had three TFLs in the backfield, but it's pretty clear to me from a foot speed standpoint, this ain't your older brother's Bobby Wagner, if you know what I mean, which stands to reason. So you had Cleveland Farrell, who's new. You had Dorrance Armstrong, who's new. Louvu, Wagner, Jeremy Chin, the new version of Quan Martin. Mikey Sanristil, who they drafted, told us was the best pound-for-pound player in the draft. And I like Mike Sanristil. I think he's going to be awesome. I'm high on him. But as far as Forbes and St. Just, who were punching bags yesterday, Quinn will fix it. You know, they're going to be better with coaching. That was part of the expectation, to be clear. We heard those guys are better. They're different. They're improved. And you just didn't see it. So, respectfully to the offense, which I'm not letting them off the hook, they were disappointing too. The defense was so bad, and all we heard about was arriving violently and the secret
sauce. So much violent arrivingly.
You know, how we're going to play, how we play is not for everybody. You mean like my ice? You know,
how you mean like pro football teams that want to contend?
How we play is not for everyone. Like fans who want to see stops or punts. You know, the other team punted once. It's not for the opposing team's punter, I'll tell you that. They'll get it right, hopefully. They'll figure it out. But through one game, I think, realistically, I didn't think they'd come out offensively and look great. It's going to take a lot of time. On defense, I at least thought they'd be able to get creative and mix some potions and just look a lot improved. And we did not get that.
We did not see that. They averaged 3.7 yards a carry, Tampa Bay did. 8 tackles for loss for Washington defenders. So I think in general, they did a good job against the run. Now, Tampa Bay stinks at running. It's a long-running theme for them, no pun intended. They're a bad running football team. But my God, did Baker Mayfield look like a Hall of Famer.
How'd you like my guy, Bucky Irving?
He looked comfortable. He's got a little burst.
Bucky Irving can play a little bit.
Bucky Irving is a better runner of the football than Rashad Wright, but Rashad White's a better player because you see him in the open field doing some things, matriculating with the passing game.
In addition to being a guy that I really wanted to draft, is Bucky Irving the name of the guy from Captain America, or is that something else? Is there a Bucky
Barnes? Okay. Looking for Bucky Barnes. There
is a Bucky.
There is a Bucky, yeah.
All right, back to you, Danny.
But yeah, it was obviously the passing, pass defense. Again, last year, if you played quarterback against Washington, you put up Hall of Fame MVP-type numbers, and we're 1-for-1 with that happening again. It's all the same stuff, different personnel, as you alluded to, but the same excuses, the same reasoning, the same, oh, it's communication or whatever the hell excuse they usually offer when they get burned a lot.
Tony Gonzalez joins us at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes. Jay Gruden is on the show today at 6 o'clock. Next, what side of the ball bothered you more, the performance on offense or defense? We're Grant and Danny. Survivor pool, dead already. Dunsky.
Dunzo Bunzo.
The Cincinnati Bengals pummeled me. And I did the thing where I'm in like 4 of them, and I normally protect myself a little bit. There is one where I had a second entry, so I'm still alive with the Saints in like a low money survivor pool. But I didn't even do the thing I normally do where I'm like, just in case the team loses, I'm going to spread my money around in different accounts. Uh-uh. The Bengals aren't going to lose to the Patriots. There's no way, he said. And then they did.
I've donated some money to some great causes over the years, mostly in those survivor pools, the winner's cause. I either do that or I do the, well, I'll save a good team and pick another team that's a double-digit favorite or something crazy. I'm amazing at losing in survivor pools. The best.
Season 3 of Thursday Night Football is going to kick off in 3 days on Thursday night. Great game this week. The Dolphins and the Bills. Tony Gonzalez is on the set pre and post with the Amazon Prime crew. He's going to join us coming up in our 5 o'clock segment just after the top of the hour. But right now on Grant and Danny, we want to know, who disappointed you more, the offense or the defense in Sunday's loss at Tampa Bay? Kevin's in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, fellas. Since you're making it binary, because really all three units sunk to high heaven. But
yeah, nobody gets off, frankly.
I'm going to go defense. Let me lay it out. And Danny, because I want to come back to you on this. If you just look at the investment, okay, we have 7 first-rounders on D, 6 seconds. All of them played except Newton because of injury. You look at our free agency dollars, the biggest checks went to Armstrong and Luvu, okay? Our defensive brain trust, we got Adam Peters is a defensive guy. Dan Quinn, Joe Witt. You look at our cap dollars across the roster, largely to D. And again, obviously some of that's because of the prior regime. But when you look at the O, we've got 1 first-rounder, and he's a rookie quarterback. We got Cosme, who's a stud, who's a second. We got Terry, who's a stud, who's a third. And we've got Robinson, who is a third. Okay, the talent is on the D side, and they wanted to build the culture with the D as the offense would matriculate more slowly. So when you have that kind of defensive performance, particularly on third down, shame on you. It was a debacle. That's why I'm so upset, because we didn't get doo-doo from the defense. It was terrible.
So, Kevin, I love that call, and I always appreciate you making it, as always. Big picture, he's 100% right. Right, the fact that we're here with a defense that's had astounding amounts of investment. The first 4 first-round defensive linemen over 4 straight years, then Jamin Davis or whatever it was, 5 in 6 years or whatever the hell. When you're talking about first-round picks on that side of the ball, Forbes last year, all the guys you put together, and the defense to be that bad with defensive coaching is beyond unforgivable. But I got last year's homework, and I know your point about it. It's a lot of different players.
It's a different group.
To me, it's the same general ingredients, the same linchpins, the same stars. You switched out Cam Curl for Jeremy
Chin. They signed an $8 million linebacker, a $12 million linebacker, and a $10 million defensive end, and you didn't notice any of them.
Yeah, I mean, to me, linebackers, it's a forgotten position to a degree. Like the salary cap says that, the allocations do.
Yeah.
So
we're just not going to agree. I mean,
well, but the bones of the defense, to me, like I've already, like they were so terrible last year. I didn't expect them to be that good. I don't know what else.
Again, there are 3 guys that were on last year's defense that played a bunch yesterday that aren't named Allen or Payne, who you didn't want to swap out anyway. 3. 8 other guys are either we agree on good or new. So I'm just, to me, that like they sucked last year, so they're going to suck again. A little bit less of that for me and more, hey, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, figure this out. Most of the guys that are playing are your guys or guys that you decided you wanted here. Let's go to Ian in Vienna on G&D. What's up, Ian?
I agree with the previous caller. I think when you are talking about the defense and the investment, that's the argument. But also, Grant, we've discussed this ad nauseum, that they should have hired an offensive coach, why they should do that, et cetera. And look, I think Dan Quinn is Ron Rivera 2.0 with just better phrasing, more kind of charisma. And when you see this type of defensive performance, it's the same. And I don't know if you guys noticed in the Dallas game, that defense looked the same. I don't think they missed Dan Quinn, DQ, and their secret sauce, and Joe Witt Jr. brings a lot of energy. These were the same things we heard going from Jay Gruden to Ron Rivera / Jack Del Rio. The defense is going to play fast and play hard and play with intensity. And they were embarrassing. Emmanuel Forbes is not an NFL player. He's just not. Like, if he was released today, I don't think a single team would pick him up. And I don't understand. I think Americans are obsessed with size and height, weight when it comes to sports. European sports don't do that. But in the sport of football, if you're undersized as a safety and a corner, that's a problem. And we have two of them. Mikey Sanders-Strill, who people have overhyped beyond words when Nick Saban says he's the best pound-for-pound guy. Well, he's 5'9". There's a reason you can say that, and there's a reason he was drafted where he is. Emmanuel Forbes, just not good enough.
Saint so
Jude,
we'll see on Sanders still.
Next time.
There's a lot of football ahead of him. He's played one game against a Pro Bowl wide receiver in the slot in Godwin. So I'll go TBD there. I liked what I saw from him in practice, although that doesn't mean a whole lot because last year I remember the rave reviews from reporters about Emmanuel Forbes when he was a rookie at practice as well. But the Forbes thing's pretty clear and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot more we need. I'm ready to return the verdict on this one.
Yeah, I'm twirling my gavel, flipping up in the air, waiting for the bailiff to call him back in.
The jury has spoken. I mean, this is just pretty obvious. By the way, the Cowboys, number two in the NFL this first week in yards per play. Only the Tennessee Titans, who dominated the Bears defensively, had a better game than the Cowboys, 3.2 yards per play. So to the point, again, it's a small sample. It's too small a sample to make the declarations even that we are. But if your point is they didn't look like they missed Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, for one game they did not. That's true. Let's go to Danny in Falls Church, home of the Jaguars. What's up, Danny?
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, bud.
And I've been a listener for a long time. Love your guys' show.
Thanks, bud.
I would say both the offense and the defense were equally disturbing and discouraging for me. I don't know what type of defense they were playing, but it looked like the secondary they were backing up. It was a soft zone, not very conducive to guarding Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, right? And then on the offensive line, I mean, you got to give Jaden Daniels time to throw the ball. They didn't do that very well. And then you got to get the ball to Terry McLaurin. I don't know why they didn't do it. Maybe it's the fact that he was on my fantasy team.
Danny, why do you want them to get the ball to McLaurin?
He's their best offensive player.
Okay, so you think
that's
that
weird,
means,
Danny? Weird philosophy.
You think that means he should be involved?
Generally speaking, yeah, you'd want to get a guy like that involved.
Okay, bold strategy.
I'm gonna write that down.
Where's mine?
Send an email.
Involved. Now, would you consider? Mm-hmm. His first catch with 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the third quarter, would you consider that to be good use of Terry McLaurin?
What is no?
Okay.
What is no?
He was targeted on a throw way out of bounds, which, by the way, on that throw, it was kind of maybe predetermined, but there was a couple open receivers on the other side of the field. And then the first play of the second half, I loved this call from Kingsbury.
Yep.
Loved it. Let's make sure we protect. Let's get everyone on the same page coming out of halftime. We're taking our shot. And then he wins. He flew past, I don't remember who it was, defensively on him. And he's in the clear. That ball was dropped into the bucket in camp over and over and over again. I know this because every time it happened, the Commanders tweeted it out. And all the reporters
they
tweeted
told you
it
about
out.
It.
We found out about it. That one was not, though. It missed him too far. That could have changed the whole day. I
mean, yeah, it's a different day.
Different the conversation mm-hmm. is if Jaden did all the running around and hit a 70-yard touchdown on a deep home run ball to McLaurin. Just like that, it's a different ballgame.
So, Danny, who has an incredible name, by the way, if I could just say that, reference this. The usage on offense I didn't even address that as to why I was more disappointed in that group. But waiting on McLaurin and waiting on Austin Eckler, let's not wait. Let's, from the first minute, I mean, that's who our bread is going to be buttered by, are those two guys. It ain't Noah Brown. It's not Luke McCaffrey just yet. It's not Olamide Zaccheaus, and it sure as bleep ain't Jamison Crowder, who had a nice little catch and scamper and run. But those aren't the answers. Your two best offensive players that need the football in their hands are McLaurin and Eckler. And they had two touches deep into the third quarter.
Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Fame tight end, is joining us in 15 minutes at 5:10. We will preview tonight's Monday Night Football game and the week ahead in the NFL with him. Jay Gruden's on the show at 6. Next, I want to do two things. The Commanders have cut a kicker today in Cade York and plan on signing one. We'll give you the details on the movement on special teams for them on the roster. And then also I want to get into this rookie class and how they fared in their maiden voyage. This is The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.